Hi folks, Matt McSpirit here, technical evangelist and member of the ops team here at Microsoft. Continuing our look at the 10 reasons why you'll love Windows Server 2016, we're back on the Redmond campus here at Microsoft to meet with Matthew John, who's going to bring us up to speed with everything you need to know about compute and Hyper-V in Windows Server 2016. So Matthew, thank you for joining me. It's a pleasure to have you. Tell us what you do at Microsoft.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Matt. I'm the Group Program Manager for Hyper-V and Containers.
Okay.
Group Program Manager means I'm responsible for the product vision, roadmap, and delivery of it. I work with my dev and quality counterparts to deliver all the features for Hyper-V and Containers.
So speaking of Hyper-V and Containers, there's been a lot of investment over multiple releases now for Hyper-V. But in terms of this release, what are some of the pain points we're addressing in terms of the big key areas?
So one way to think about our investments in Windows Server 2016 is we split up the investments from an infrastructure or fabric point of view and a different from an app container or application runtime point of view. So
right.
The traditional IT administrator investments are what we call the fabric investments. One of the biggest investments we have made is an ongoing investment about enabling customers to upgrade to the latest version of Windows Server. In Windows Server 2012 R2, we had the ability to live migrate virtual machines from 2012 to 2012 R2. Mm-hmm. But this time around, we went further by incorporating that as part of the cluster solution itself, which enabled customers to be able to take an existing cluster, which is on Windows Server 2012 R2, and with the press of button, migrate all the virtual machines that's live onto Windows Server 2016 cluster with no downtime.
Right.
And it's a seamless process, and it goes one step at a time, take one host at a time, upgrade it. We had to build a bunch of technologies to make that happen, mm-hmm. including supporting mixed mode clusters, where
right.
Individual hosts in the cluster could be Windows Server 2016 or Windows Server 2012 R2, and allow VMs to go back and forth.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about cluster rolling upgrades, and that really unlocks scenarios that really give the IT administrator lots of flexibility without additional hardware to
Correct.
Purchase as a kind of separate cluster while you're migrating.
Absolutely.
So that's one area that's certainly going to be music to a lot of our IT professionals' ears and helping them upgrade to the next version as we go forward. What about in terms of some of the other administrative benefits? So for instance, checkpoints or snapshots as they used to be known. What's going on in that space for people?
Sure. So just to touch upon what you said earlier, the reason to upgrade to Windows Server 2016 is not the ease of the upgrade. That's definitely, it makes it easier.
Yep.
There are a bunch of capabilities we've added. Production checkpoint is one of those things that we have added, which enable people or our IT pros to take snapshots of their VMs without having to take a memory snapshot.
Right.
So a memory snapshot brought with it some of the advantages of memory snapshot is that you can just pause a VM in the middle of an instruction and just continue where you left off. But that's not a great scenario for backup or those kind of scenarios where people tend to do that quite often.
Hmm.
With production checkpoint, what you do is you're taking a disk level snapshot at any point in time where you're integrated with the virtual machine itself and or the guest OS itself, and that enables you to take these checkpoints on a more frequent basis without any impact to the guest OS itself. So there's
no
pausing of the virtual machine that's going on.
Now you mentioned, you dropped the name backup there specifically. Now
yes.
snapshots or checkpoints aren't a solution for backup.
Correct.
But I believe there's been some improvements in the way we handle backup now in 2016 around Hyper-V VMs.
Yes. So
let us know about that.
So one of the challenges that we had in our earlier versions was that backup at scale had some challenges when integrated with VSS on the host side.
Right.
So we overhauled the system in that Hyper-V decided to provide APIs for backing up virtual machines directly and natively. And in the guest, we would integrate either with the Linux backing up mechanisms or with Windows with VSS inside the guest.
Right.
And those APIs now can be called natively by backup vendors, either mm-hmm. the system center DPM or third-party solutions,
right.
and have a much more scalable and performant backing up solution.
Nice. So when we think, again, more flexibility for administrators, enabling them to use their existing tools, our partner tools to enable a more streamlined, efficient backup.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us through some of the other areas of improvement for flexibility for the admin and how it enables them to better manage Hyper-V.
Sure. So some of the more interesting scenarios. So there are a bunch of big investments and some very interesting investments. Mm-hmm. Some of the more interesting ones were around hot add remove of networking and memory
right.
that we introduced in Windows 0 2016.
Right.
At the very the most interesting aspect of that is we are trying to remove all the roadblocks that are needed for not having to bring down a virtual machine.
Gotcha.
We started with upgrades, like you never have to bring down a virtual machine or your workload when you're upgrading your host. Mm. Hot add remove of networking or memory is another step in that direction, which says if you want to add more networking capabilities or if you want to add more resources, you never have to bring down your virtual machine.
Nice.
So it's there. It's shipping as part of Windows 10 as well,
right.
And it's available as part of Windows 0 2016.
Now, there's a lot of our IT professionals out there, sysadmins, LAN admins, and so on, love PowerShell.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on with Hyper-V and PowerShell, because there's some pretty cool stuff going on.
There is. So for PowerShell, one of the things or one of the pain points that we have encountered in the past is. People love PowerShell, people love having to manage virtual machines. One of the troubleshooting problems that virtual machines has is misconfiguration of a virtual machine says that there's no network connectivity inside the to the virtual machine,
right.
Either due to firewall misconfiguration or some other issue that's going on. So we introduced this capability called PowerShell Direct.
Right.
And what that really means is from the host, you can directly communicate or connect to a virtual machine using a PS session and simply giving the name of a virtual machine. And
nice.
Behind the scenes, it just uses VM bus.
Right.
That's our internal protocol to communicate between the host and the guest, to create a channel and talk to the guest directly, bypassing networking. So even if you have a VM that's on a different network or not connected to the network or misconfigured networking,
yep.
you can still PowerShell into that VM and configure and manage it.
Right.
And
that's even if there's no NIC at all.
There's no NIC at all.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
And that enables scenarios, for instance, where you've deployed a VM, there's no NIC, but you want to configure it with roles and features so you could execute DSC
correct.
Into that VM and handle all the configuration.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
So again, more flexibility.
More flexibility.
But it's
admins.
All secure, even though it's on the host you're communicating direct, it's all secure.
Absolutely. So that you touched upon another interesting thing for security.
Yeah.
So before we go down the bigger investment area on security, yes, the PowerShell Direct still allows you to have guest access and guest control. Your credentials are still the same credentials as what's on the guest. So
right.
host administrators do not have unfettered access into your virtual machine through this mechanism.
Right.
It's simply a point to connect to it. But the same mechanism, whatever has been allowed inside a virtual machine, is the same that you would have.
Right.
In fact, one of the things that we will be introducing into Windows Server 2016 is support for just enough administration as part of this PowerShell Direct as well.
Nice.
That will enable the tenant or the VM owner to control the access to the VM as well, like what kind of access you want to give and what kind of commands you can perform there.
Right. Just giving them enough to do their job, but not over provisioning
exactly.
access to
exactly.
necessary resources.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So sticking with security then,
yes.
bring us up to speed with the overarching investments in security at a high level for people.
Ah.
Because there's some awesome stuff going on.
Yes, there is an awesome stuff. So one of the proudest things that I am of our investments in Windows 2016 is around our investments in assurance or security and increasing that level of security that we have done in Windows 2016. And I know there's a more elaborate and detailed session on that, but
yeah.
at a very high level, the one thing that we have been able to do, and this is great that I can actually make this statement, is that virtualization had introduced a layer of abstraction to the virtual machine. Along with that came this whole notion of a very powerful administrator. Mm. The virtualization administrator had so much power that particular administrator, he or she, can access everything that's going inside the virtual machine, and there was nothing to prevent the administrator, the virtualization administrator, from accessing it. Mm. In 2016, we actually made the technology investments to be able to curtail that.
So
in essence, what we have done is, even if you are a virtualization administrator, you own the host, you can create a virtual machine, and we call this virtual machine a shielded virtual machine.
Right.
You can create a shielded virtual machine, and once you go through the motion of creating the shielded virtual machine, then the administrator won't be able to access the contents of that virtual machine. So your contents of your virtual machine is hidden even from the virtualization administrator.
Which is incredibly important for especially multi-tenant environments.
Exactly.
Like a service provider.
So either in a service provider environment or even in an enterprise environment, if you notice, if you go around and ask, there are some crown jewels for a lot of enterprise administrators where they are afraid to virtualize it because the data is so sensitive. Mm. AD, domain controllers, become one of those key workloads that people have refused to virtualize, mainly because they're afraid that somebody else can get that information, which is very valuable. Mm. With shielded VMs, we have taken away that thing. So even in an enterprise scenario, there are some core sensitive information that now you can securely put in a VM, in a shielded VM, and host it on Hyper-V on top of Windows 2016.
Nice.
But definitely in a hosted environment where you're running multi-tenanted environments with different tenants coming to the picture, they would love the promise that the hoster can give to the tenant, saying, hey tenant, I can't see your stuff because Microsoft guarantees that I can't get to it.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Come on
over. Also enables more compliance scenarios for organizations to achieve compliancy with any regulatory requirements they may have.
Absolutely.
In fact,
as I described earlier, we have just exceeded the boundary of what people thought was possible with virtualization, so much so that so we are pushing the boundary on what the levels of compliance we can do, we can achieve with shielded VM.
Nice.
It's beyond what we have ever shipped or anyone else has shipped. So I'm super excited.
It's awesome. Cool. So what about heterogeneous? What about heterogeneous environments like running Linux on Hyper-V? What's new there?
Great question. So the investments that we have always had, or the promise that Hyper-V has always made, is we treat all our guests equally, whether it's Windows guests or Linux guests. Having said that, this being Microsoft, traditionally, a lot of our investments have gone into making sure that the Windows guest runs great on Windows on Hyper-V. And Linux always tagged along as number two, except that in late Windows Server 2012 R2 and beginning of Windows Server 2016 investments, like throughout the last couple of years, we have upped our investment in Linux. We invest a lot in ensuring that all the supported OSs are equally performant on Hyper-V as they are as Windows is on Hyper-V.
Right.
And similarly, we keep doing our investments and measurements to make sure that Linux on Hyper-V is comparable and competitive with Linux on other competitive virtualization platforms.
Right.
So essentially, it's the level of investment that we have made to ensure that our Linux workloads run as good or better on Hyper-V as anything out there. Towards that end, it's the number of features that we have done might be less. The main thing is we want to ensure that we have parity with Windows, so all Hyper-V features that we introduce apply to Windows guests as they apply to Linux. That's definitely number one.
Right.
But also the increased focus on scale and performance, boot time, workload performance, storage and networking performance of Linux workloads on Hyper-V has been given a lot of attention.
Right, and equally in Azure as well.
Oh, absolutely. So the beauty of the Hyper-V platform is, and Microsoft, is that the same Hyper-V technology that ships as part of Windows Server 2016 goes out, is the same Windows Server that's running or powering Azure Fabric. So all the investments that we make towards improving Hyper-V is applicable to Azure as it's applicable to the rest of the world.
Nice. So a technology that's in the industry-wide has been in Linux for a while is containers. And what's new in 2016 is we're bringing containers to Windows Server. So tell us a little bit about, a high level, about container technology in Windows Server 2016.
Sure. So this is now where we have crossed the boundary from building the fabric to building the modern platform for writing the next generation of applications. So containers very easily becomes one of those building blocks or the tools to write your next gen application when you're writing your born in the cloud app or the scaled out application or the cloud native app, whatever terminology we use. Those applications are written in a microservices architecture, and containers, as popularized by Docker, becomes an integral part of such solutions. Now, anyone who's been following Docker would realize that it's been one of the newest and fastest adopted technologies, as shown by Docker containers. Now, today, the available technology, this Docker technology is available on Linux. And we wanted to make sure that that same technology was available for Windows users as well. So for Windows Server 2016, we decided to have the same kind of runtime that's available on Linux, managed by Docker, be available on Windows. So, so with Windows Server 2016, you can create a Windows container, a Windows Server container, which has a shared kernel, very similar to the Linux containers, which uses a shared kernel model.
Shared kernel of the host.
Of the host, of the container host.
Right.
And being managed by a Docker front end.
Right.
So you have the Docker CLI or the Docker Docker REST API to manage, create, deploy Docker images and use them as container runtimes.
Nice.
But we also went a step ahead. So we realized as we went down building containers that a shared kernel model is great, but not enough for a lot of the workloads, specifically in Azure, specifically in multi-tenanted environments, where the level of isolation provided in a shared kernel model is not enough or not good enough. So we introduced something else called the Hyper-V containers, which uses virtualization technologies to provide a much higher level of isolation, the same level of isolation that you get with virtual machines, but applied to a container. So the same Docker interface, same Docker REST API, same Docker images, everything is exactly the same. And a runtime flag or a switch is used to say, I want to run a container as a Hyper-V container or as
a
Windows Server container.
Yep.
And the whole developer workflow and the operations workflow or the DevOps workflow doesn't change at all whether you're talking about Linux or Windows. With Windows, you have the Windows Server containers or the Hyper-V containers. And so it's been an extremely interesting project for us on two fronts. One, bringing such a technology in such a short time to Windows ecosystem. And two, working with the open source community to be able to have the same Docker binaries run on Windows as it runs on Linux.
Nice.
So the same Docker daemon and the same Docker ecosystem that comes with it.
Cool. And a byproduct of the Hyper-V container is nested virtualization.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that briefly.
Okay. So as you definitely alluded to, Hyper-V containers takes advantage of virtualization technologies. Now, what we have found is most of the containers are consumed or created in virtual machines, which implied that for us to support Hyper-V containers in a VM, we needed to have Hyper-V support nested virtualization. And by nested virtualization, all we mean is that a VM created on Hyper-V should be able to run Hyper-V inside the VM.
Right.
So it's
Hyper-V
mind warping.
Yes. Inception.
Exactly. Inception that's going on there.
Yeah.
But it's as simple as saying, can I install Hyper-V in a VM?
Yeah.
Essentially meaning that the VM is exposing virtualization extensions.
Cool.
And so that's something that we enabled. Now, even though the primary motivation was to enable Hyper-V containers, the nested virtualization we built is a general purpose nested virtualization. So right. we can enable any kind of third-party virtualization solutions or general purpose Hyper-V with virtual machines inside a VM.
Nice, cool. So we've covered a lot of ground. So if you could give somebody who's just starting out with Hyper-V today some advice, where would they get started with 2016 and Hyper-V? Where's the best place you can send them?
Our online documentation, mm-hmm. Yet another thing that we keep improving on, is our documentation.
Right.
And we started off with the container documentation from there. We have followed a Git model where with very rapid, iterative, and our current documentation is always up to date and available. The documentation is also such that we expect community investments in there as well. So anyone from the community can feel free to modify that code and submit it, submit a PR request or pull request to modify the documentation so it can stay current, whether it's to update it with scripts or to change some incorrectness that you might have observed.
Right.
But the best way to learn more about it is our blogs
and the guides and
our MSDN sites that contain all these things.
Cool. Well, thank you, Matthew. It's been a pleasure to learn more about Hyper-V in this next release and containers. Lots of cool stuff in the release. And hopefully you found it interesting as well. And stick with us as we continue our look at the 10 reasons why you'll love Windows Server 2016. Thanks.